Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, our weekly roundup of the best events in Oxford. This is our last podcast of 2014 though. So actually we've got events taking you all the way through to the 7th of January, which will be our next Oxcast. Let's kick off though with our ongoing Daily Info page game.
Advent calendar.
Advent calendar.
You can find our advent calendar by clicking on one of the boxes on the homepage. The Daily Info Dragon has been visiting lots of different pubs in Oxford and you have to try and figure out where he's been each day. So yesterday he was at the Crown, which is just off Corn Market. It was actually one of the oldest pubs in Oxford. It's an old coaching inn, really nice, cosy pub for the winter there. To go on the advent calendar every day, the dragon will be at a different pub and see if you can figure out where he is. On to events though. This week I'm going to be talking about football and films.
And I've got spires, singing, and of course, Santa.
Start us off with Santa then.
All right, we'll start with Santa. We couldn't hold off the Christmas events for too long. We've got loads of them this week. This is the Life and Adventures of Santa Claus at the Cornerstone in Didcot. It started on the 15th and it's running up till Christmas Eve. Last year, the company put on The Night Before Christmas, which went down a storm. It's a great family show, and this year they're back with the same sort of great family fun. The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, it's based on a book by L. Frank Baum, the author of The Wizard of Oz. And again, it's going to be fun, it's going to be interactive, really lively. They've got loads of music and things like that. And the story is basically, it's a strange one, as you can imagine. Santa gets adopted by some wood nymphs at some point, and then it goes on to explain all those things you've been wondering about Santa, like why does he come down the chimney? And where did he actually get his reindeer from initially? So you can find all that out and have a great evening at the Cornerstone, watching The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, which is running until Christmas Eve.
Rival family Christmas fun though, the Snow and Tell is at the Story Museum until the 4th of January. This is a storytelling and song combination of three different stories, The Elves and the Shoemaker, How the Robin Got His Red Breast, and A Christmas Carol, all mixed into one. So I think this has like a postman who is trying to deliver his packages on Christmas Eve, and he gets sort of caught up in a snowstorm and drops the packages and needs some help. And these three stories somehow come together.
Okay.
In song and story. So it's a very popular show. Some of the performances are already selling out, so do make sure you book soon. It's on until the 4th of January, every day except Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day, and the 29th, randomly. But any other day it's on, so check that out at the Story Museum.
Festive wreath making at the Chester off Iffley Road. It's £35, but you do get all of the stuff that you need. You get the branches and the berries and
Ribbon,
yeah. Whatever else you need to make a wreath.
The bit in the middle? I don't know.
There's a hole in the middle, isn't there? Anyway, you get it all there. Plus, you get nibbles and some mulled wine. It's on today, 3 till 5, and also tomorrow. So if you're listening to this now, you don't have that long probably to get down today, but you can go tomorrow. You can get tickets from the Chester or from We Got Tickets online. They do ask that you bring an apron or some clothes that maybe you don't mind getting covered with leaves or glue.
Thorns and holly.
Yeah, and to bring some scissors. I would imagine some quite big scissors to cut through some branches and things like that. But you will end up with a beautiful wreath that you can use every year and a great sense of achievement, I think. And it's just a nice sort of way to chill out and not rush around town buying a wreath.
I was in town yesterday, it was awful.
Yeah, it's
humans and carols.
It's great. So that is festive wreath making at the Chester, 3 till 5 today and tomorrow.
There is some more conventional theatre on at the moment. Hay Fever is being put on by Oxford Theatre Guild at Arts of the Old Fire Station this week until Saturday. It is Noel Coward's classic romp on a country estate. A well-to-do family go to their country house for the weekend and they each bring along a guest. And over the course of the weekend, everyone seems to snog someone they shouldn't. Things get blown out of proportion. The family have a big argument and the guests awkwardly sort of sneak away, hoping not to be noticed.
Right.
Good fun, though. OTG most recently put on The Habit of Art at Wesley Memorial Church. And in the summer, they took up residency in the Oxford Castle. They put on the Canterbury Tales there. People will know lots of their shows. They always put on really good productions. Tickets for this one are £13, £11 concessions. It's on Tuesday to Saturday at the Old Fire Station.
And now for some opera. Amal and the Night Visitors is going to be at U Elm Village near Wallingford on Saturday and in Ensham on Monday. And the reason that it's dotted around the place is because this is being put on by Opera Anywhere, which is the touring opera company that does all sorts of different things and sings absolutely anywhere. They've got singing waiters, they sing on punts, they do everything.
They've been in Waterperry Gardens and in the Norrington Room, all over the place.
They've been everywhere. In fact, they've already done Amal and the Night Visitors in Oxford. They were at St Andrew's Church in Summertown, where our reviewer went along. It's a great sort of intro opera for kids because it's only 45 minutes long. It's just one act. And the story is quite a nice, festive, it's quite Christmassy kind of tale. So good to bring the kids along. But it is a 20th century opera, so there is a lot of dissonance and it can be kind of hard to get into. So, I don't know, make your own mind up about whether to take the kids or not. But it is in English, which is always nice. Mm. It's a reworking of Menotti's original opera. Another interesting thing about this version is that Menotti actually specified a lead male soprano, but this one has a female lead. That's quite an interesting take on the story, which is that this young boy or girl, Amal, a shepherd or a shepherd's son maybe, lets three kings who come knocking on his door stay in his house. So you can kind of see the themes coming up. But his mother tries to steal some of the king's gold because they're quite poor. They've had to sell off their sheep. And there's a bit of a scuffle. But then the king, one of the kings, says that actually they can keep the gold and it's all very lovely and charitable. And Amal, who has a injured leg, is healed. So in true Christmas spirit, everything works out. So that's Amal and the Night Visitors by Opera Anywhere on Saturday and Monday.
You can read the full review of Amal and the Night Visitors and many more reviews on dailyinfo.co.uk.
And you can find a list of pubs that are going to have nice Christmas dinners or mulled wine.
We've also got our Christmas information page, which tells you everything you need to know about where to get a Christmas tree, where to dispose of a Christmas tree, what buses are running on Christmas Day, and all of the carol services happening between now and Christmas.
If you just can't bear to wait until the 7th for the next Oxcast, you can subscribe to our Oxcasts on iTunes and then you can listen to all of them and get them straight to your computer when they come out.
You can also listen back to older interviews that we've had with different people on the Oxcast Extra channel, which you can find on our website.
And speaking of interviews, I spoke to Jeremy Hogan, who is the designer of a new game based around Oxford called Dreaming Spires.
I had been a student at Oxford and was looking for a great theme for a game that could be quite thematic and have lots of interesting stories and characters in. And Oxford was the perfect setting for a game like that. And I already knew quite a lot of fun anecdotes and, yeah, bits of historical trivia from when I'd studied there.
Yeah.
That was how it first came about.
Moving on to the actual game now, we actually played it, so I know this might not be the easiest thing to do, but could you explain it briefly
for the listeners? Yeah. Well, you're building a college of Oxford University, starting in the medieval era and going through to the modern day. And you build your buildings in front of you, they're all square tiles. And it's those tiles and the icons on them which allow you to attract the great scholars of each era. So in the medieval era, it's all medieval famous people who went to Oxford. And when you attract those scholars, you're then able to use them to improve your reputation in the different subjects of the university and also areas of the college, like the reputation of your fellows or your tradition. And after you've played through four eras, growing your college and attracting new people, and also dealing with events, historical events which come up and pit the colleges against each other, then the final scoring looks at all the reputation of the different colleges and determines which of you has created the greatest college of that game, and they're the winner.
Do you have a favourite scholar or character
absolutely.
From one of the eras?
I quite like Lawrence of Arabia, partly because I think he gets overlooked a bit. Yeah, so Lawrence of Arabia, I really like his quote, which is something about the flash of genius being like a kingfisher darting across a pond. And he said, "That's the stuff of generals," he says.
And where can people buy this game from in Oxford then, if they want it maybe as a gift or want to get a hold of it themselves?
Sure, yeah, there's lots of places to buy it. I would say in Oxford, in shops, you've got Blackwell's, you've got the Oxford University shop, you've got Thirsty Meeples Board Game Cafe,
yeah,
or Hoyle's, which is a game shop on the High Street. And there may be others. I think the gameskeeper on Cowley Road may have it. I'm not sure about them, though. And then online, you've got all the typical online retailers that you'd expect. But it is great to buy it in Oxford in a shop, if possible, support the high street.
And just a final question then. Do you think you're going to be playing it over Christmas with your family?
Without a doubt, yes. A number of my aunts and uncles and cousins who haven't had a chance to play have already been talking excitedly about the colleges they're going to build.
Excellent. You can hear the full interview with Jeremy Hogan on our Oxcast Extra channel.
Now moving up to the new year, and many people probably still don't have their plan sorted for New Year's Eve yet. Have you got any suggestions?
Yes, well, there's going to be quite a few parties and things going on in Oxford, as you can imagine. Some of the ones that I have my eye on, Club Cacophony's New Year party. They are the resident Friday night at the Wheat Sheaf, and they're holding a New Year's Eve party. It's £8 for advance ticket or £10 on the door, which isn't really that much for a New Year's Eve party, actually. They're usually a lot more than that. And they're going to be featuring the Mighty Redox, the legendary Pete Fryer Band, the Mark Atherton Band, and BB Dreadzone Disco. There's also a party happening at the Tree Hotel in Iffley. They're going to have music, fireworks, and lots of yummy food. It's a sort of a buffet situation. And that is £19.95 for tickets to that. Or something a little bit kookier. This is a Mad Hatter's tea party at the Marsh Harrier. They're going to be serving teapot cocktails and sort of interesting things like that. Music from the Tail Demons, and then a DJ following on from that. Fancy dress is welcome, and I think unusual hats are definitely encouraged. Doors open at 7 for this one, and tickets are £20.
Speaking of the Mad Hatter Bar on the corner of Circus Street and Iffley Road are going to be having an Around the World in 80 Days themed party. So they're going to have each different areas of the bar are going to be themed for a different city. So they've got London, New York, Mumbai, Yokohama and Hong Kong.
Oh, cool.
And then there'll be different themed drinks and nibbles for depending on where you're sitting in the bar.
So is it themed like that it's New Year in those cities?
I don't think they're going to do it at sort of different times that they'll have the bells going.
Cool.
That would be pretty cool. You get 5 New Years. But no, you get different drinks and different nibbles depending on where you're sitting. You get champagne on arrival, and there'll be live music from Alex Lanyon followed by a DJ. Tickets for that one are £25. They've got early bookings and later bookings for when the actual midnight bit is. Details are on their Facebook page. And Joe Perks over on St Clement's, they're going to be having an 80s-themed New Year's Eve party and will be open till 2:30. I've got loads of sport actually happening over the Christmas period. So Oxford United have got a couple of home matches. They will be hosting Shrewsbury at the Kasam Stadium on Boxing Day with a 3 p.m. kickoff. Boxing Day always gets big crowds. Loads of people going along to that one, if no other match during the whole year. So definitely book for that one. And Cheltenham Town will be at Kasam Stadium on the 3rd of January as well. London Welsh will be playing on Boxing Day, obviously not at home, since they share a stadium. They'll be playing London Irish away at Reading's Majeski Stadium, so not too far. And they'll be back home at Kasam on the 4th of January, hosting Harlequins. That'll be a big match.
Great, so now we thought we'd do a little roundup of our favourite events from the last year, or some things on the Daily Info website that we're particularly excited about, and some things to look forward to in the new year. So we've asked everyone in the office to come and speak about their favourite 2014 event. So Jen, what were your favourite events of 2014?
Well, I've got a couple of things I really enjoyed this year. There were two dance things, particular highlights for this year. One was a crazy dance event that was part of Dancing Oxford, so it was back in March, and it was called The Night Ball, and it was Ballet Laurent, and it was in the town hall, and it just involved the most bizarre costumes and headdresses, and then they got everyone tangoing at the end, and it was just a really nice event. And the other thing, much more classical, is English...
Dirty Dancing.
No, I haven't seen that. No, this is English National Ballet doing Coppelia, and it still delights and surprises me that we get the English National Ballet in Oxford, and it's great, and we don't have to go all the way to London to see them. Yeah, so those two things were great. And also, I achieved an ambition this year, which was to see all 4 of the new Writing Festival plays. So that's the student competition. That's, again, back in March. So the four plays they do are kind of the finalists of a writing competition. So they've already been through one set of selections and then they're acted out. They put together teams of often new directors, new actors, new everybody to perform them. And yeah, I saw all four in the competition this year.
You also spoke about them on the podcast as well, so people can go back and listen.
I did,
if
yeah.
they want. Cool, thanks, Jen. Next up, it's Dan. Dan, what have you got for us from 2014 or about 2015?
There was a show at the New Theatre about a month after I started here.
Yeah.
And I got to go to the it was like a preview of the show at the Museum of Natural History. And there was a big dinosaur puppet running free around the museum. And that was really cool. It's the kind of thing I wouldn't normally go to. And
I think they were then, that was kind of a preview, and then they went to the New Theatre afterwards, didn't they?
That's right. Mm. They were there for 2 weeks.
Very popular show. Thanks. Patrick, what have you got for us?
This year, the best thing that I did was very recent. The best thing that I did, and you should all do, is go and see the Creation Theatre's performance of The Wind in the Willows at the Northwell Arts Centre.
Yes, it was very good.
It's very good. I really enjoyed it. If you like the book, I hope you will too. It's an adaptation, very true to the sense of adapting something and sort of putting it on stage with a new look. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah, go and do that.
Your review is up online as well.
It is
our a couple of other reviewers. So you can read different views and different sides about The Wind in the Willows and get a crepe.
Yeah, the crepes are great. Get a crepe. My favourite page on dailyinfo.co.uk this year is Santa's Surprise, the Christmas game, which I encourage you all to play.
Very addictive.
My favourite event of 2014 was Stephen Isless playing at the Jacqueline Dupre building. It was just incredible having a world-famous and renowned musician come to Oxford, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again next year.
Hugh also wrote a review of that concert, so you can read that to see if you want to go to the next one in 2015. Susie, what have you got for us?
Well, as you know, I don't get out much anymore because I've got a tiny toddler who takes up all my time, but there have been a couple of lovely new restaurants open in my area this year. There's Ollie's Thai, which everyone is very excited about, who I have to say are incredibly accommodating of children. I went there with a friend with another toddler and they had high chairs and they didn't even bat an eyelid when bits of mango started to go all over the floor and that kind of thing. And their food is amazing. They've got a really small menu. It's simple, delicious, fragrant, gorgeous. Everyone should go. Although it's now quite hard to get a table. Mm. There's also the Chester Arms, which used to be kind of a lovely local boozer. A friend of mine described it rather beautifully as a creche with a bar. It's been reinvented as something more gastropubby, but still low-key, not too overdone. Again, lovely, simple menu. They have a fantastic chef, and they're doing a really good job.
I got their £40 steak platter with a couple of friends. It was amazing.
I haven't dared try that, but it looks beautiful.
When we ran out of our bowl of béarnaise sauce, they brought us another.
They're good people.
Thanks, Susie.
And what have you got for us, Orla?
I've kind of had a look at a few films that have been out during 2014 and that might be featuring in the upcoming awards season in the Oscars happening in February. So looking at some of the foreign language picture nominations, there's always some really interesting films in that category, and it's always a really tough competition as well. I think a few that might be nominated will include Belgium submission 2 Days, One Night by the Dardenne brothers, starring Marion Cotillard, as a worker who finds out she's ready to return to work from being off with depression. She finds out that her colleagues are facing a vote between keeping her as an employee or their bonus that they get annually. And she has basically the weekend to go around to each of them and try and convince them to lose their bonus but keep her as a colleague. Mm. And Ida, Pavel Pawlikowski's beautiful black and white story of a young nun in 60s Poland who goes on a journey of shocking personal discovery with her hard-drinking, promiscuous, long-lost aunt who she meets for the first time. That's the Polish submission, and I think that will definitely be nominated as well. And the Russian epic Leviathan, which I have yet to see, is also highly tipped for a nomination in that category as well. Now, some of the big films for the big five categories of best film, director, screenplay, actor and actress have already come out. So films like Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game and Gone Girl probably going to be featuring in those categories. But there's lots more that are going to be coming out very soon as well, so we can look forward to those. They often try to release the films just before the Oscars so that they stick in the minds of the Oscar voters. So ones to look forward to are Birdman, The Theory of Everything, which is the film about Stephen Hawking and Jane Hawking. Then Unbroken, which is Angelina Jolie-directed film. Whiplash is another film that I'm really looking forward to, which is about a jazz drummer and his drill sergeant-like teacher at a music school in New York. Then Selma and Foxcatcher as well, a couple more films to look out for. But I've also picked my most overlooked film of the year, and it's kind of actually last year as well. This is Snowpiercer. It was made a couple of years ago on a $40 million budget by Bong Joon-ho, who previously made The Host. It was originally released in Korea in July 2013, and the rights were bought by the Weinstein Company, it's owned by Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, so he had the distribution rights for North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. And he wanted to make cuts of 20 minutes and then change the ending. And the director refused. So there's a big standoff. It never really got a proper cinematic release. And it was eventually released like kind of on the down low on home media. And so people finally got to see it. And it is amazing. It's a really, really good film. It stars Chris Evans, Jamie Bell, Tilda Swinton and John Hurt. About 80% of it's in English. And basically in the year 2014, 70 countries in the world release a chemical in the upper atmosphere, which is supposed to cool the Earth by a couple of degrees to try and combat global warming. Instead, it sends the world into another ice age, and the only people who are left alive are on this massive train, which is just doing continuous circles of the Earth once every year. And these are the only people left on the Earth that are alive. And a class system has developed through the train. So in first class, you've got people living like kings lavishly, and at the back, it's just like unbelievably awful. And basically, Chris Evans and Jamie Bell and John Hurt are at the back, and they want to start a revolution on the train, and to do that they need to get to the front of the train, and it's just like totally badass basically. And also, yeah, it's just really, really, really good film. So try and see Snowpiercer if you can. That is my overlooked film pick of the year. And Nat, what are you going to tell us then? What's your interesting bit of information about 2014?
Well, I couldn't really think of a specific event, although I did really like the full Monty at the New Theatre. That was great fun. But what I have enjoyed doing since I've started working here was, as we are 50 years old this year, has been looking at all the other things that have turned 50 this year, all the birthdays that we share, such as Buffalo Wings are 50 this year. So who knew?
Who invented buffalo wings?
I don't know. Mr. Buffalo?
Okay,
I actually think that might be some way to the truth. And the Addams Family, they're 50 this year. It's a classic. I love that. So
it's your Halloween costume as well?
It is. It's quite an easy one for me, but anyway. And yeah, if you're interested about finding things that are the same age as us, it is quite a fun thing to do. Don't spend your time procrastinating on BuzzFeed. Spend it on thingsthatare50.com.
And then tell us about them.
Yes, please do. Please let us know. There's not that long left of the year.
Thank you for listening to the Oxcast in 2014. And do subscribe so that you get the next episode on the 7th of January, straight downloaded to your computer.
In the meantime, you can still find reviews, a place to live, pets, anything you might need on dailyinfo.co.uk.
You can also follow us on Twitter @DailyInfoOxford, and you can like our Facebook page by searching for Daily Info Oxford.